Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for October the 5th, 2025. Sometimes people ask me personal questions, and I'm not the kind of person that would shun that. I'm all right with personal questions. Maybe it will help you in some way. That's always my hope. And so I got an email here from Alex, and it says Alex in the Hamiltons. So I don't know what that means, but wherever that is or whatever that is, I'm answering his question today. And I wrote him and told him I would. He goes into how difficult the world is, how painful it is, how nobody cares about anybody, and now he is becoming that way. And boy, that's a dangerous thing. So he says, please answer. You seem to care about people in general. I don't understand why. How do you do that? It's a very simple answer. When I was younger, I cared, but I cared in a different way. I wasn't caring like I care now. I did not have the maturity to understand what caring was really all about. And after years and years and years of counseling with people and working at hospice, I found out what caring really meant. And I care about my students very much, more than they care about themselves. They don't really have the capacity too much to care about themselves. They care about what their circumstances are and what their conditions may be or what their life may seem like, but there's no sense of understanding the consequences of their life. They don't have it. They can't see that what they do is going to produce consequences either here, there, or somewhere else. And God bless them, they just don't get it. So it isn't a moral issue that I have. I've learned this. I am everyone I meet. In every person I meet, there is some part of the Gregory. And in that, I see his flaws, I see his difficulties with himself, I see his tendencies and his prejudices, his idea, his moral beliefs and right and wrong, good and bad. All of that live within me. They don't change. They're just there. I just choose not to deal with them in the sense of incorporating them in my life. In other words, I understand their significance as, let's say, a place card in my psychology, but I don't work out of my psychology. I don't sit there and think, well, I have to be a good person or whatever. I never go to that. I want you to understand. I had a student. I had two thoughts collide here. I had a student come to me after a retreat. And this person really thinks that they know, they have an intellectual premise upon which they live their life. And they think that if they can think a thought, that it must be true, which is a dangerous thing. Anyway, after the retreat, this person looked at me and said, I'm very, very depressed about what I experienced in the retreat. And I said, why? And the person said to me, because I thought I was a more spiritual person than I really am. This is a very difficult thing for people to realize. And evidently my job is well done, because that's exactly the truth. This person never had an inkling of what being spiritual really means. I don't even like the word spiritual. I have a hard time with it, because it connotates a lot of, you know, people screaming and yelling and singing hymns and all that other stuff that people like to do and talk about how, what a believer they are. It's just very difficult for me. But I care about those people too. And I looked at this person. I said, do you care? Do you care about what you've discovered about yourself? And this person looked at me sheepishly and said, yes, but no, I can't do anything about it. And I'm probably always going to be this way, thinking I'm more spiritual than I really am. And it's probably true. At a retreat with me, there are many different reveals for people. Some people come and they think they're going to get this and they get that. And some people who have that then go to this. And it's a really interesting process as I conduct these retreats, because everything that you think you know, you begin to find out is a block. It's a burden. It's not a bridge. It's a block. And you can't go any further in your life. If you ever wondered why, Alex, your whole life is the way it is, it's based in the idea of the assumption that whatever you can think is true. And that is simply not a really good way to live your life. Whatever you think, you may think, but it doesn't make it true because you think it, or it is rational to your ego or your pride or your personality. It doesn't mean it's true. It just means that's a thought. So when I look at people and I work with my students, I love them dearly. I do. They don't know what love is. So when I have to tell them the facts of their thinking, the facts of their life, they cringe. And most of them don't have the courage to ask. You know, they just don't. I ask them, how was your retreat? Or we're going into one next month. How, you know, what did you get? And they never ask me the question, what did you get from us? What did you get from me at the retreat? They don't want to hear that. They just don't want to hear it. They're very, very fragile people, probably a lot like you, Alex, very fragile. And when you're fragile due to the ego and indulging yourself in pride too much, way too much, you become fragile. And anything that is said against whatever it is you believe or you think of yourself becomes an insult. But as Jesus said, who was the master at teaching, blessed is he who is not insulted in me. Because you get to see things that other people refuse to see. I care because I am in every one of my students. I am each of them even now. I'm not above them. I'm certainly capable of doing the dumb things that they were capable of doing. I just don't do it anymore. I hear the same words, the same impulses. I hear all the same stuff they hear and feel, but I just choose not to indulge myself. It isn't the place I go. It's not my first place. There are other things in my life that are far more important to me. Far more important. And you have to have the ilk inside of you to want to know the truth that would set you free. And not many people have that. They don't care. People don't think they're going to die, and they also don't think they're going to answer to the consequences they have created in their life. They don't even know they're creating consequence, but they are. And even the good ones that people think they're making for themselves turn very sour later on in their life as they ripen into death. So, you know, my job is a very difficult one. I have to walk a very thin line in helping people, but the whole effort is to help people. And I refuse to, give in to my impulses to try to make people feel good about themselves or feel happy in order to make me feel happy about them. And that is something that you learn when you stand before people for years and you realize all they want to be told is, you're okay, you're all right, you're not okay, and you're not all right. None of us are. That's why the world is the way it is. And that opens up another can of worms. Maybe somebody will ask. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you, Alex, in the Hamptons, for... for everything that you do. And I'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.